Hey, everybody. That is Gary Smith.
I can't swim.
That is Cass Kenny.
Kapow!
And I'm Eddie Bramble, and this is episode 39 of the Blackwater's Edge podcast.
See, we're going to make it to 52 here one day, I think, right?
We're going to get there. We'll be at a year on just after Thanksgiving, but we're not going to be quite at 52 then because we missed a few weeks. But what do you think, Cass?
I think it's pretty amazing that we've been able to stay together for 52 episodes without killing one another.
Not there yet. We're only at 39.
No scores yet.
Yeah, that's right.
rain, go the way.
Yeah, no kidding. Go ahead and start us off with this week's fishing report.
All right, so the fishing report, what's been going on down here? Well, a little bit of everything, just like every week here anyway. So, you know, the catfishing is picking up here. The water temperatures are starting to drop. We're starting to see some of the blue cats being caught over in the Nanticoke River and the Marshy Hope. I know Cornflower got on some serious ass big ass blue cats the other day, and if you didn't get a chance to see the pictures that he had put up, take a ride over there to his page and check them out. There's some pretty big stuff that he got locally here around the refuge. Let's talk about what's going on catfishing. We're catching some of them. For those of you like catching bullheads, right now is a good time to catch bullheads, you know, that last hour of light, a couple hours after light, you know, top and bottom rig with some night crawlers. You can get two at a time sometimes over there at some of the places that we catfish at. So that would be a good thing to do. As far as the snakeheads go, you know, we're catching a little bit of snakeheads everywhere. A live bait is definitely the key to success here right now. A few guys are still getting some on some lures, and we'll talk about those lures in just a second. Let's talk about some of the different bridges and what's going on around here. DeCourcy Bridge, okay, over at DeCourcy Bridge, seeing a few stripers showing up. There's you guys that are throwing swim baits over there, 4-inch sassy shad, a rattle trap, Tony Aceta. There's all kinds of ways to get them rockfish over there. When that tide starts ripping in, just long casts, slow cranking a swim bait or something like that, something subsurface. You can pick yourself up, you know, a nice limit of stripers over there and get your snakeheads to go with their stripers too. The crabs are moving out of all these places. So those of you that were catching crabs at some of these bridge spots, you're going to notice that you're not going to see these crabs here. They're starting to dry up. Over at Aries, it's snakeheads. A few crappie being caught over there. New Bridge, it's a few crappie here and there. We're still looking for that first yellow perch. I haven't seen any yet here. We're looking at some of the nets to see if anything shows up here in the refuge. We haven't seen anything there yet. I've been talking to Justin and a couple of the other guys that are netting in there, and we have not seen anything. You want to get down to like some saltier stuff, you know, Best Pitch, you know, down there, right there at the fishing bay for the parking lot down there. You can catch some nice trout on the bulkhead right now on twister tails and drifting minnows and some peeler crab, things like that. Stripers there, white perch there. James Island, so in Little Chop and the Honga, you know, we're seeing some topwater action throughout the day. We're seeing as a tide change, you know, a lot of bait getting pushed on the surface by stripers. And you might be lucky enough to find a few of them big specks underneath some of that bait, too. We saw some of that this past week out of James Island on some topwater whopper ploppers. And I love the whopper plopper as far as topwater for stripers.
Not you.
God, it's just a sloppy bait. So for those of you out there that are going to go try that this week, make sure that you're real careful when you're unhooking your fish, because those two sets of trebles in there can get real sloppy as they're flopping back and forth.
When have you never liked a whopper popper? Has there ever been a time?
No. I mean, for me, that has like been one of the most versatile applications here ever since, you know, Chris Leslie turned me on to him over there with BigBassUSA.com.
I remember when you first came in this store, the very first time we talked about snakeheads, and I called you crazy. All you ever asked for in the store is whopper poppers. That's all you wanted for 2 years. I think that's all you asked me for is whopper poppers.
I was bringing them here.
You caught your personal best on one, didn't you?
No, my personal best was on the hyperelastics.
Yeah, hyperelastics.
Yeah, I mean, the whopper plopper for me, I absolutely fell in love with that lure. And I think the cool thing was we had an opportunity to play with that bait before it really got out on the market anywhere. So, you know, we were able to use that bait, suggest improvements to the bait, you know, and I still to this day, that whopper plopper, the 75, the 90, the 140, the 190, all of them have an application for me no matter where I'm fishing at, you know, this time of the year especially, and all summer long. You know, Smithville, you know, Madison Bay, all these places, you know, you got an opportunity for a topwater bite in there. And the cool thing is you don't know what you're going to catch. There's still a few trout around. There's still a few red drum around. There's still a few spot around. There's white perch. I mean, it's a little bit of everything to catch. But if you really want to have some fun and you're out there and you're driving around in the boat and you're looking off on the horizon, you see the birds working the water, man, just jet right up there, little light action rod. You might not catch 40-inch fish, but good God, you're going to catch 50, 60 fish. You're going to have fun with the kids. You're going to have fun with your friends. It's going to be a great day for everybody. You know what I'm saying? The little chop tank, you know, same thing, top water whopper plopper. Dover Bridge. So I've been talking to some guys up around Dover Bridge. They're catching some really, really nice snakeheads on bait up there in some of the cuts. A lot of blue cats are starting to show up there too. You know, here's what I want people to do. You know, when you're catching these fish this time of year, if you want to see really what your fish are eating on and you want to see really what color pattern you might want to use, you want to see what size lure you want to use, I know it's gross. Cut the stomach open, see what you got in there, see what they're eating, you know. Like Eddie just said, match that hatch. You know, that's going to be your best success. Tillman, stripers, and perch up there. I've heard up on the sassafras, they're seeing a few yellow perch starting to show up there out the mouth. I did talk to a guy last week. He was fishing up Still Pond. He had some really, really nice crappie up there. So it sounds to me like the water's cooling down. Some of the panfish areas, you know, that are better than what we have here are starting to turn on. Start looking at some of the spillways, you know, if you want to see some early fun action with some early season yellow perch and some things like that. They'll come in there early, and you'll catch them way before the big ones come, too.
This cold front this weekend will change it up a lot.
And yeah. That rain today is going to cool things off, too.
That's something I want to talk to him real quick before we get into the podcast. You know, we just had this rain coming.
Too late.
And this rain was kind of warm, though. You know what I mean? So here's what's going to happen. We've got a cold snap coming. We've had all this warm rain that just came here last night through today. So the temperature probably came up a little bit in some of the areas. So this is what I see. If you're going to fish this week, tomorrow's your day. Tomorrow's your day to go because the cold front's going to start pushing through here and you're going to have an opportunity to get on the fish before it gets cold. They're definitely going to feed sometime tomorrow. I know some guys that braved the rain today and they didn't do very well. So that tells me that that afternoon feed just did not happen today. So I think tomorrow, before this cold settles in here and we get to tomorrow night when we're really going to see the water temperature drop, this is a great opportunity to go out tomorrow with bait and fill your cooler. I mean, that's my forecast. That's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to it. So,
is your forecast better than the weatherman's?
Well, you know, I love WBOC. I love all them guys down there. And I have to tell you, WBOC has been pretty accurate with their weather. So I think they're probably a little better than I am. They've had college educations, you know. I haven't had that kind of stuff. So.
They've got maps.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Today's weather.
Brought to you
late,
by.
Followed by darkness.
All right. So with that, we're going to get right into this week's guest. And this is our, I believe he's second repeat guest.
Yeah, he's been on here before. Yeah, so, we love this guy.
But yeah, we've got Chris Leslie back on here again from Big Bass USA.
Did I just pop up on the screen?
You did just pop up. Check out. Oh, yeah. We've got you on film this time.
Yeah, this time. It didn't happen last time.
Last time we had
camera. He broke the camera last time, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
He's had a haircut since then, so. Yeah.
Which one? Oh, my gosh. How you guys been?
Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, man, good, man. Eddie, it's great to see you, brother. It's great to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Healthy. Congratulations on the baby girl.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Man.
Yeah.
And Kaz, it's been so long since, you know, you and I got to hang out, so it was great seeing you again. And, of course, Gary.
He's all right.
Gary's Gary.
He's okay.
He's like, man, Gary. Yeah.
That's it.
I think one of the coolest things, you know, that's been going on here is, you know, I'm watching some of the stuff that's going on with you, Chris, and your fishing adventures and your kayak adventures. And I think the whole world out here is looking at some of the stuff you've done. And I think this last year has been a great year for BigBassUSA.com. And the growth that you've seen has definitely been immense. The reason I wanted to bring you out here today with us is, you know, we're coming into different seasons. The weather is changing. Anglers... focuses are changing. You know, they may not be chasing snakeheads now. Now maybe they want to go after that striper. Maybe they want to get back up in a shallow creek chasing some perch and crappie. So, you know, I thought this would be a great opportunity to come on and talk about what's happening with you the last year, what's been going on, your growth, and the direction that we're heading this year, because I know you got a lot of big things getting ready to unfold for you.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some adventures we're going to take you along with us on, too. So let's talk some kayaks, man. What's been going on in the kayak world?
So, I mean, you know, I was over at Denton Rod and Tackle, and we were just working out of a smaller space, so we just needed a bigger spot. And I ended up going, I'm now right now down next to the yacht club in Denton, and we got there in June. And I went from a 200-square-foot place to 1,000 square feet.
Big joke.
Yeah. But I tell you, with COVID and everything else, you know, not that I want that kind of thing around, but it, pushing people outside, you know, blew our business up. And it wasn't just mine. I mean, if you talk to me to try to buy a bicycle or, you know, anything like that, it was just off the hook. I mean, Eddie, you and I talked about it. Fishing tackle was just gone. Yep. Couldn't get it.
We're still having the problems.
Yeah,
problems.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's just now starting to come in. So we actually tripled what we sold. Well, we doubled what we sold as far as kayaks.
Wow.
And I say we because the other thing is, too, is I've got a lovely lady that comes in. She's with me now and she helps me, and she's been absolutely just setting up my point of sale, getting all of that stuff set up.
That's a venture
on itself. Oh my gosh. And she's fantastic with it. I mean, Elizabeth does such a great job. And she puts up with my brain working, you know, 90 miles an hour, and I'll start something and go almost, it's almost like, look, squirrel moment. But I just, you know,
Who's that remind you of sitting in this freaking room right now?
I bet you that Charlotte does it too sometimes when you know, we start talking about something. It's like, it's just that we get so much going on and an idea comes, and if we don't grab it, then we'll forget it. And we're afraid that if we forget it, then it's something that we really wanted to talk about. So she's been wonderful about, you know, dealing with me and that kind of stuff. But no, boats have been awesome. And we've had some great boats. We had the new Big Fish 108 came out from Feel Free. The Vibe, the Shearwater has actually, I mean, it took a little longer for that boat to come out. But once some of the little stuff got worked out.
Glitches.
Yeah. I mean, kinks, and it's just like everything in a brand when it's brand new. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it became a really, really stable boat. Damien from Lowland Outfitters runs one.
He's killing it, isn't he, man? God, that guy's just killing it.
Yeah, and you know, the great thing is, I mean, you guys know that he's going to be full time next year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for him to do that next year.
Yeah, we are too.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic guy.
Oh, he is. He is. And, but I mean, and just like you were talking, we just couldn't get boats for a while. I mean, I probably could have sold an extra 100 boats this year if I had the right ones. And I could have, you know, probably sold another 100 boats. But we've had such a good year that next year is going to be a really, really great year. We've got some new boats coming out. The new Slayer Max from Native came out, and that actually has been a really great boat. They're coming out with a brand new one of those this year called the 10. It's a Slayer Max 10. It's a 10-footer. And that's actually going to be Elizabeth and I. That's going to be she's going to get one, and I'm going to, if it's the right weight. So if they keep the weight down on that boat like they did the Slayer Propel 10, which is only 62 pounds, and I'm 51 and I got a herniated disc in my back and just get tired, I can pick up a 62-pound boat. You know, I can move that. 100-pound boat, that gets a little hard on me.
Yeah.
So I like a smaller boat. And that's this Max 10 is going to be, it's going to be a beautiful little boat. If you just take the 12.5 and cut off 2.5 feet of it and look at it, it's going to be a really cool boat. And then the Big Fish 108s, they're coming out with a 103. So slightly shorter, slightly narrower boat.
What is the thought behind all these shorter models that they're introducing? Is there a reason that they're doing that? Cutting back on some of the size? Is it,
I think it's for the same thing. It's just weight. You got, and then just give guys who don't want that big boat. You know,
the reason I'm saying this is I want somebody out here to know that just because they're shrinking these boats by a little bit, that these are still stable, still quality, they're still top of the line. You know what I mean?
Well, so, you know, usually when you get in, and this isn't always the case, but so when I sell a boat, I probably ask 15 or 20 questions, and I just start. I mean, actually, I start with a monetary, how much money they want to spend. I don't want to talk to you about a $2,000 boat when you got a $1,000 budget. It's not fair to you. And it's just, you know, without being rude, it's just a waste of anybody's time, right?
Time,
you
know, right.
Everybody wants to get in and get out. And then I also ask questions about, like, injuries and stuff like that. I mean, I had a guy the other day come in. He goes, yeah, man, I'm looking at a tandem. My wife's handicapped. And he didn't go any further than that. When she came in, she actually was missing one leg.
Holy cow.
And I was like, wow. And she was like, man, I can get in and out and everything. Just, you know, she goes, I won't take this with me kind of thing. It was kind of, she was very cool about everything.
And this is kind of one of the reasons I wanted to bring you in here tonight is because, you know, so many people that I talked to about their kayak experience, they went and they bought a kayak and they went home. You know, I think that the biggest difference that sets you apart from a lot of other people selling kayaks, not saying that they're not other people that do that. I know that you're very attention to detail. So I know just working alongside with you over the years that you're going to ask those questions, that you're going to try to find the right fit for that client that's coming to you looking for that special rig. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's just awesome. That's why I wanted you here, because so many people ask us questions about kayaks and we don't have answers.
Right.
And I know that you're going to take the time to break it down for the consumer, for the customer, so that they know that they're getting the best quality purchase for their money.
And that's perfect, because we had, I'll give you another example of that is, I got a buddy of mine, he's 6'5", weighed 408 pounds. Dale was a big boy.
He's no 10-foot kayak.
So when we started looking at kayaks, we had him in a 13.5 feel free, and he wanted something different. He saw a boat that we have, and we ended up putting him in a new canoe, Frontier 12. And we went out paddling with him, and my man stood up in that boat, and he goes, check this out. And he stood on one side of that boat and showed that he could stand up on that thing, and that thing didn't flip. I was impressed. And he goes, there it is, just check that out. So I was like, wow. I had Damien do the same thing in the Shearwater. He stood up and he goes, look at this, man. He, at that time told me what he weighed and stuff like that. And he jumped up and down on the one side, boat didn't want to flip. And just testimonies to these companies, how much they put into their boats and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, they definitely do the research on how to keep things buoyant, for sure.
We have, and that's the other thing too, is like, I'm not going to ever, if you come here, we actually moving up to selling 10 brands next year. We actually picked up a company that, out of Maryland, we got a Maryland company now called Santa Cruz. It's a...
I used to have a skateboard called a Santa Cruz.
It's kind of a triangle shaped. And it's done for a reason, to keep the balance of the boat. So like, again, it cuts through the water better. Great looking boat. I'm really excited when we finally get it in the shop and stuff like that, but really neat looking.
So, accessories. What do we have new as far as accessories for kayaks coming out? And for those of you asking questions here on the podcast, Josh, we're going to get to you about the patterns and things like that. Very soon we'll get into some of that. We're noting all your questions down. We're writing them down, and we're going to get right to them as soon as we can. The kayaks that are coming out, customers are able to not just buy a kayak from you, but they have options now. You don't have to just buy the standard setup that comes up with the rig. You have some aftermarket stuff that you can buy. If necessarily the seat that they're getting that comes with that kayak, they're not necessarily happy with, they want something a little more comfortable, there's options out there for these people that they can get a different seat or get a different softer cushion or something like that.
It would be more of a cushion. And that's something we're going to look into. Is, before, we just didn't have the space to do accessories. And with our new place, we're able to expand our accessories.
I want the public to know that now you guys are offering more than just kayaks. You've got accessories now available. Yeah. This year is really a stepping up the game thing for you guys. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This is next year. Elizabeth, her and I have talked about it. It's next year is almost like, we're going for broke. I've easily doubled what I'm going to buy.
You got to take a risk, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's what businesses,
Can some of you don't have?
That's right.
Ding, ding.
That's what happened this year, isn't it?
No, you're actually right.
I mean, one of the biggest things that I learned in the crab business, I had to say this, is buy, buy, buy. I was always afraid to buy. You didn't want to have too much extra. You didn't want to have something left over on Sunday. You know what? I realized that if you don't have confidence and you don't take the risk and you just don't bite the bullet, and you don't just go try, you're never going to know.
Oh, yeah.
So, after I started to take the buy, buy, buy syndrome, I watched the business change. And I think that's kind of the same thing that you've learned this last year, because you've already said it. I could have sold 100 more kayaks. Imagine if you had bought them kayaks or had them sitting there already and said, you know what, go ahead and send me them 20 extra. I'm not afraid to take the risk.
It's one of the things, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and the thing I've always been told, you don't sell air conditioner, so you can't sell air. You got to have product, point blank, period.
That's a good one. You got some pretty good ones from your people, But, that's the thing, you're really stepping up the game. You're really going another notch up.
I'm so proud of having Elizabeth on board and stuff like that. She's brought so much more to help me with a balance, to be able to help my brain focus more.
Oh, I know. I get it. Trust me.
It's such a neat place, and it's funny because we'll be talking and she'll all of a sudden, and I'm going on a tangent, but we'll be going on and my brain will be spinning and she'll stop me and she'll, I need you to listen to me, focus for 5 minutes, and I do, I focus, and she's like, and all of a sudden she lets me go and it's like a Tasmanian devil going out again,
so it's been great. But
they make electric trolling motors and all for kayaks. I was early this summer, I was out fishing, had a couple out fishing, and we're on our way out, and the creek kind of it tees there, but it comes out at an angle, and I saw this guy kayak, and he had a, looked like a little motor on the back. I couldn't tell what it was, but he didn't look like he was going very fast, but it was because he was crossing, and he was going away at an angle. But when I got up on him, dude was cruising, man.
So there's a, there's
I mean, I'm talking 8, 10 mile an hour with a little electric trolling motor on there.
There's a company. There's Torquedo. Yep. There's Bixby. There's
I like the Torquedo. I really do.
There's Water Snake. Like there's, if I'm not mistaken, Motor Guide's going to make a brand new one,
I saw
too.
That. Yep.
IX3 or something. Don't quote me on that, but it's something like that. And some of the kayaks that we sell, you actually have bolt-on application. Matter of fact, there's a company called Yak Gadget that we sell their products also now. So they make a lot of motor mounts for kayaks. Put it on the back, put the motor on, set it up.
Well, he had some kind of bracket on the back with this thing on, but it was an electric trolling motor, and it wasn't like electric trolling motor you see on a bass boat. This thing had it only had a head on it about that big around. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it was he was rocking. I was impressed. And he was back a good way in the river, so. I don't know if you planned on paddling back or you had a real good battery.
I tell you what, let's do this, Chris, okay, because we're here in Blackwater, okay? What is a good rig or brand that you would suggest for somebody that's looking to get into kayaking and snakehead fishing and they are not familiar with anything? What is the first thing that you might introduce that person to come over here to Blackwater with?
So, I'll tell you what, would you mind, we'll play a kind of game, we'll do it like this. So what's your budget?
I'm looking at $1,300.
Okay.
Watch this, folks.
So do you, I mean, so we're in Blackwater. Money. Now I'm going to ask you, if you fish Blackwater, are we fishing really tight to cover? You're going to be like in a lot of shallow water?
I'm going to be up in a lot of shallow water, yeah.
Okay. So a pedal drive kayak may not be the best thing for you. And at that point.
So a pedal drive kayak is something that you're looking for a deeper water application, not something necessarily like a swamp area or something like this that we have here.
Yeah, probably around 2 feet of water, you're going to want something like that. Or if you're in heavy grass or a lot of moss, you got a lot of sticks and stobs you're going to go over. All those things are going to, you know, become problems. Now, if you get something with a fin drive, now the Shearwater comes out with a fin drive. The Santa Cruz is going to have a fin drive. Those boats, you can, what they call flutter kick, and you can keep those fins close to the bottom of the boat, and you can move them along. But anything with a prop, you're going to need probably, let's just say 2 feet of water. And you're always going to need 2 feet of water. If not, you're going to have to pick the drive up.
Right.
Now, if you know you're going someplace like that, you can pull the drive out.
And still paddle.
Now, here's the cool thing about having a pedal kayak to a paddle kayak. A paddle kayak, the only thing you can ever do with that boat is paddle it. Sounds dumb to say it that way, but if you had the extra money and you could buy a pedal kayak.
So let's stop. So my budget was just $1,200, $1,300. Mm-hmm. We're moving into the pedal kayaks. Are we still in that?
Well, there's a couple that dance that edge. Okay. There's the Sea Stream that dances for $1,399. So we're right in that ballpark. And you know, that one I will start to mention to people. But then one of the things, too, I'll start asking you questions.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's go back to your questions.
No, so, you know, I'll ask someone like, you know, depending on who it is, I'll try to ask how much they weigh. If it's a guy, I don't mind asking. If it's a female, I'll start suggesting weights at, hey, this boat has a weight limit of this. And
did you catch a frying pan for saying the wrong thing one time to a woman?
I'm just careful. That's flat on this side.
That's why I was asking. Yeah. I just noticed that.
I got a scar above my eye. No, but no. So you know, it's one of those things. You gotta, you know, you want to be delicate with some of the people, and sometimes just, you know, when like, you know, I go back to my buddy Dale. You know, it's 6'5". Brother, I got to ask you, how much are you weigh? And he's like, 408. I'm like, all right. And the nice thing about it is that I really had to do my research and find a boat for him to put him in there. And then after that, I'll usually ask something about, like, you know, if they have any medical issues, back, shoulder, neck problems, knee injuries. You know, if they're sitting real low, you know, a lot of the boats set, you know, 4 or 5 inches off the deck.
See, I never thought about that. And, like, I see where you're that's getting me. Ready to go so right now.
Yeah, got to be up in the air.
I tore my ACL and my MCL about 8 years ago. So would you still recommend a pedal drive for that?
So if you're thinking, and I have to say it like this, if you are worried about it causing pressure on your knees, mm-hmm. this is how I explain it to people about a pedal drive. If you've ever been in a bicycle and you put it in like in first or second gear, mm-hmm. where you can pedal really, really easy, mm-hmm. but you just don't go very far, very fast, it's kind of like that. It's not, when people say, I'm going to get a pedal drive for exercise, the only way you're going to get exercise out of a pedal drive is if you really try to use right. it as an exercise and just pedal fast.
You've got to pedal like an exercise.
Let me stop the press right here. You just really, really made me have a thought. Do they make a pedal drive that has like a gear where you can switch the gears so it's easier not to pedal or not? Bamboo.
Too late. It's already out on the internet. It's already gone.
Yeah, someone else got a patent on that. Thanks a lot, man. Just ruined a million-dollar deal.
That's right.
Eddie and I were talking earlier.
Me and Gary were talking last week. I already got the domain name. Switchgears.com. No, I'm just kidding.
10-speed yak. But yeah, so I mean, it's always been, when we look at that, I ask all this kind of questions. So it's like, here's a perfect example of something like that. So if I got someone's got knee issues where they don't want to sit real low, like someone like you talking about, mm-hmm. if you had the money, I would put you probably in either like a, if you, depending on where, then I also have to ask where you're going to fish, because a longer boat is bigger water normally. A shorter boat you can have in smaller waters, ponds, lake streams, that kind of thing. You're going to go out in the, you're going to start dealing with the waves and stuff like that. You start seeing white water a little bit. You want a longer boat. Don't play with that. It's, you know, there's that stuff. When we start looking at getting out in the bigger water, actually, I'll tell anybody, when you buy a kayak, one of the things you ought to do is get in. Make sure it's safe. Wait till the summertime. Take everything out of the kayak, everything out of your pockets and stuff like that. Put your life jacket on and need to find out where that boat
now, flips. Before I forget, yeah. Your new location, you can actually let people try a kayak yep. out there, correct? So yep. I did want to mention that. You know, when you go see Chris, you don't have to worry about buying the kayak and going and trying it. You know, you yeah. can have an opportunity to get in that boat right there, check it out, see what your needs might be. Is there any adjustments need to be made so you're comfortable? And you can do all that right there for them, right?
Right. And I will say that is all weather and temperature permitting.
Sure, yep. sure.
And so we actually stopped doing it about 3 weeks ago, and we had our first person
roll.
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah, and it was, and she was a trooper. I mean, you know, we got the boat back up. She got up. You okay? Yep, I'm fine. But honestly, she was someone who had been in the Navy and in Navy Reserve and had done this kind of stuff and worked in the water.
Right, right.
So
it was probably a little scary, I guess.
It was very, it was scary for me. And yeah. I, you know what scared me about it is that my health wasn't in the best position
to go help
her.
Right.
And I was like, no, we got to do better than this. Yeah, I just can't do that. You know, so we just decided that, well, this is the last one for the year. We'll wait till it warms up.
You know what I was thinking? Why not build something in there out of fiberglass? It's 20 by 20 and put 6 inches of water in there and let them get in there. And
I got the big chop tank, man. I got
yeah, but you can't throw them in there in December and January. You could throw a fish tank heater. Yeah, but that little
then
of water
if they're only in 6 inches of water and they fall over, then they'll bust their elbows and knees. Then they'll sue you.
Or their head.
That's right.
So yeah, so there's, you know, there's all those questions that we end up asking people, and I'm sure everyone else does it too. But I don't want you to come buy a boat from me and it doesn't fit your needs. You know, I'll talk about a boat like the Big Fish Runaway.
I guess the point is kind of this. You know, you're not commercial. You know, you're more of like if I want to come talk to somebody and get the individualized attention, you're that guy. You know, you're not going to Gander Mountain, you're not going to somewhere that's more of a commercialized place. You're getting some hands-on, some face-to-face, and you know, you get that hometown kind of sale. You know
small
what I'm saying?
Business.
Yeah, small yeah. business. There yeah. you go. That's kind of what I want to
say. Yeah, I'll this is what I always tell people. My father, who will turn 89, he just turned 89 in August. You know, so I'm used to that old school type of working in, like where a handshake is still
right.
means something. Yeah. And I still, matter of fact, when COVID hit and we couldn't shake hands, it bothered me.
Yeah.
You know, to say someone, thank you for coming mm-hmm. and seeing us and that kind of thing. It really was something I really wasn't crazy about.
Yeah, when church opened back up, it just kind of freaked me out a little bit. You know, and you can't shake hands with anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just super strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, as going forward this year, you know, a lot of people have been coming down here snakehead fishing. Do you think that this whole snakehead craze has helped you with the sale of your kayaks?
Absolutely. My God, you guys have, I mean, you and I have been together for a long time. Well, so, I mean, you know, my love.
Well, I mean, I've always had your back and I'm always in your corner. You know that. Yep. And anybody that's ever come to me, you know, you're usually my first go-to. Absolutely. And I just, working with you, I've been able to
hold on. He just said you're his go-to. And you just said you usually send people his way.
No.
Well, that's what I heard.
Let me clarify that. Okay? If anybody has a kayak question, then yes, they're going to Chris. Okay, if somebody's asking another boat question, then I'm not going to send them there if it's not a kayak. Was that a good save? Was that a good save? Or what? No. I know, right? That's all right. He'll have a little
arc. 6 inches deeper. That's right.
I hope he enjoys his arsenic wrap tomorrow morning for lunch. So. But honestly, and I mean, we've done these shows for several years. We've done a lot of stuff together for, I guess, 5-6 years now anyway.
Well, you and I?
Yeah.
Well, we've been doing it longer than that.
Can I
tell real quick? I mean, do we have
time? Yeah.
So, as you've been very open about your struggles and stuff like that.
Sure.
And, you know,
I'm a fuck up. Sorry, there it is. Weep. No, we've got parental advisory on our thing, so we're good.
I don't know, but Kaz called me. He's like, hey, man, I can be part of your pro staff at the time. And we offered a pro staff, and I was just BigBassUSA.com selling lures. And I said, yeah, man, that's fine. He goes, no, you got to hear my story first. So he tells me his story and tells me everything he's been through and everything like that. And I go, well, man, I said, and I'll put it to you like this. I said, you screwed me once, we're done. I said, I believe in giving everybody a chance. I said, but after that, I said, I'm a small guy and can't do it. He goes, you ain't got nothing to worry about. And the truth of it is, then I was having a tough time. We got ready to do a show.
You were getting ready to be around with the company. You were thinking about getting rid of some guy in Florida or something. I remember we were talking about it.
I was going to get rid of it. And he ends up, he's like, man, come do Scott Sewell's show.
Yep, we did that.
And I was like, how much? He's $25. He says, man, I'll just give it to you and let you run it. He's, no, man, you got to be there. I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to do this. So I came and stayed the night. We set up, stayed the night. I had a horrible hotel. Get up the next day, and the doors opened up at 8 o'clock. Now, the crazy part I got to tell you guys, it was crazy, is that it's $3 to get in. And there was people telling Scott they would pay him $20 to let them in first. And we were second or third table back on one side next to the food, like down the ways. They let those people in, and it was a herd. The people that came through there. The only time Kaz and I could talk, if it was monies, and that's all we actually got to talk. And he showed me how to hold money and count monies. It was actually a fantastic.
Because I'm always selling crabs on the side, right? So I drop my money, hide my money, stack it, put it, say no what you got, blah, 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 blah.
We were just rolling. And we were going, and he looks at me, and I said, oh, my God, dude. He goes, yeah, it's only been an hour.
Yeah, we were in there an hour.
And I looked at him, and we didn't have time to breathe. And so it grew from one little spot,
yeah.
And then the next year, I told Scott, I want that spot, and he says, okay. Then I went to two tables, and then I was gonna do one in the back of the thing and get the whole little place. And I said, I got thinking about it. I said, nope, I want two tables there and two tables on that side, and him and I manned both sides, and it just continued.
We had Tom there. And Tom, Tom was staying in the back as a set of eyes. He wasn't even at the table. He was just watching to make sure people weren't. Because people, I mean, it was so, everything was going so fast, and I'm trying to watch everything as we're doing. 35, right? Okay, 50, blah, blah, and I'm looking here at Tom, and Tom would every now and then be like, I looked at him, hey, bud, put that up here, man. Let me see that. You know what I mean? So that was good to have him there. And then I think even after that, I mean, the next year we went even bigger. We went to the Philly show. We were doing the, what was the one on Ritchie Highway? We did that one. We did Frank's. We did Scott's. We did Frederick. We did a bunch of them, And I kind of really missed that last year, and I'm hoping that we get the opportunity to do some of that stuff again this year.
I'm hoping you guys are able to do
the Snakehead Festival.
So we're still working on that. Yeah. We're going to have a meeting set up with Sailwinds here in the next week or two to sit down with them and see where we are as far as, getting that thing back rolling again. I think Eddie and Gary, just like myself, were just worried that we're going to deal with it again, you know? So, I mean, that's kind of the thing. And, hey, for those of you that don't know, the Midshore Fishing Club raffle's coming up, and I got this raffle ticket here for somebody.
That's the last one.
This is the last one that we're giving up. So,
drawing real soon, too. Isn't it?
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah.
They're drawing at the meeting of November, which I can't remember
November 2020. So that will be, I guess we're going to draw it at our meeting.
I can't remember which day the meeting is, but that's when they're doing the drawing.
So what do you want them to put in the comments, Eddie, for that?
Give me that ticket.
That's what you got to put in the comments. First person gets it. I mean, we were doing all these shows. We were going, and I mean, the coolest thing was, like, we would get on a show, and the first thing I'd say, Chris, I'd say, what aren't we selling that we need to sell? He'd tell me what it was. So that was like, I would focus on that product for like the first hour. And you know, by the time that be whittling down, like, what else we got to get rid of in here, man? You know? And I think the coolest thing was we sold baits on integrity. We weren't selling baits just to sell baits. We were selling baits to make friends and to build a business. Oh, yeah. Even though we were so busy, we were still able to find time and some balance in there to make a connection with that customer that was coming to see us. And the coolest part is every year that we've gone back since then to any of these places, I would say probably 70% of those people are repeat people that are coming back specifically to see if we've got a bait that we had the year before they did great on or something like that.
Well, you look at when we did the, the main company that we did down there with Randy Howe, Livingston Lures.
Yeah, that was Livingston, yeah.
And those guys just went, you know, they loved what we did, you know.
Well, I remember when the guy said to me, he says, what was the guy's name running the booth? I can't remember.
Rick?
Rick, was that his name? So Rick. And Rick says to me, he says, you know how to sell any baits? I was like, oh, no, I'll talk to people. I think that's all you need to know. And he said, oh, I hope you know a little bit about the baits. So I just went around and started taking these baits off the shelves, reading the backs of them, what they all did. Man, you should have heard. 5 minutes I had a pitch together. These guys are, oh, yeah, give me four of them. Give me three of them. Give me two of these. You know? I just like that challenge, man. You know, I don't know. There's just something about that.
You have a natural gift at it, too.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, you do. You have a way about it that...
I remember Chris has told some people some funny stuff. Like, I remember when I told one guy, I said, yeah, that guy right there will take the hat off your head so fast. You'd be so happy you got that hat back. Hey, I'll tell you what. He'll sell you tickets to hell, man. You'll be ready to go burn to death in 20... You know, you'll be waiting to get in there, you know? So, I mean, I think our relationship has been really, really good. And I think we've had a pretty good run so far. And I think that we have a lot that's coming up. And, you know, I mean, the good thing is you're part of our circle and this whole thing, I mean, we're all doing this together, you know, and it's all been teamwork, you know, it's been all networking, helping one another. You know, I don't think that any of us have tried to be exclusive about anything that we're doing. You know, I think I've been very open to help anybody that's been helpful back to us or anything like that. I think Eddie and Gary have been, as far as that goes. I mean, when people ask us about fishing spots and things like that, I mean, I'm not protecting anything. I know you to help people just as much as I help people. Same with Eddie and same with Gary. And I think that the biggest thing that we're doing as a whole is that we're bringing back what fishing used to be and what fishing used to mean to people, at least to me. You know, I mean, the whole commercialized thing, you know, got so big it seemed like that we lost focus of the emotional connection that we have with one another, you know, fishing and hunting and doing those things together. So I think that a lot of what we're doing, you know, is to help the public, but also I think each and every one of us want to bring back that persona that's not here anymore. You know, I mean, we want to see guys walking up, hugging one another when they get to a fishing spot, like, not, what are you doing, man? I'm fishing here, bro. Go somewhere else. Right. You know, so, and I think we're seeing a lot of that happen here, actually. I mean, we've seen a couple tussles, you know, but I mean, for the most part, everybody is getting along here, you know, for the most part. I mean,
if anybody has a tussle, it's usually with you, Kaz.
Yeah, I know. I get a lot of tussles, that's for sure. Last year it was death threats and bomb threats, and they're going to throw me off the bridge with cement shoes. And, you know, I'm still here. What's up, buddy? Anyway.
That sounds like a challenge.
I know, no, not really. But please don't. I had enough, man. I don't want any more. So.
Can I take a minute?
Absolutely.
While we're doing this, Chris, when we were talking about the pedal kayaks before. Maryland has a limited guide's license, and when it first came out, I told Eddie and Kaz about it, and we all three got our license. Damon has his license. Matt Meredith,
he
has one. There's only like 125 of them in the state of Maryland. But going through the regulations one day, and right after I got my license, and something I noticed was it said about taking people in kayaks, you could take a maximum of four people, two other kayaks besides a guide. But it had to be paddle or pedal, and it specifically states paddle or pedal. And one of the tournaments here, Johnny Motz, stopped by.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk to him for a minute, and I pointed that out to him. And I told him, I said, you know, it's really not ADA or Comar specific, because if somebody has a bad arm or a bad shoulder,
We have a veteran that's lost a limb or something.
Just like the lady you said, without a leg, she could be the same way without an arm.
Right.
They can't paddle, but they can pedal. And it also, it wasn't just that. It was also brand specific, because if you had a Hobie with the paddles, the little duck paddles, you could use that. But if you had a Jackson or somebody with a prop, you couldn't. So Johnny jumped right on it. And they did some legislation and stuff. So long story short, my brother worked for DNR, and he just retired. And he sent me this email the other day. It says, regulation reviews in process for 2021. Comment period is open for Type L guide license changes needed to bring DNR regulations in line with new statutes in Comar passed at last year's legislation. The time frame for the full process is to have the new regulations effective by the spring of 2021. Change from oars and paddle to human power. And Kaz and I, we went to spend a half a day in Annapolis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't get to go with
and
you.
That's okay. Actually went up and met with Johnny another time there too. So, you know, it's kind of neat. It's the first time I've ever been
part of a rule change.
Yeah, I broke a few laws. But,
I know, right?
Probably even had some change.
But this was intentional. But
yeah, this is a positive thing for anybody. So now your guides, if you have somebody that's handicapped or something, you can pedal kayak next year, which is great.
How cool is that to be a part of something?
Yeah, it was kind of neat. Man.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't get to Annapolis very much. And the day that we went up there and got on the thing and rode around, I mean, I think I was more in awe. You know, seeing all that, you know, the house and all that, you know, because I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was really cool. Also,
I remember
cool
saying
see.
When we came back, you think you got a tough job. Go there and do that one day. Yeah, man, yeah. I was happy camper to get out of there.
Me too.
I remember when I was 16, we just won a state championship for senior league baseball. And we came back and they sent us up there to get our certificates and all that good stuff. And like, you're sitting there for hours and hours while everybody's doing their job. For everything that's going on in the whole state, and you're just sitting there in awe of everything that's going on, and the people that have to do that job, it's just
because we sat there. Some of the stuff, you know,
yeah.
There was one for the Waterman. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it went on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it goes on.
And the fellow when they brought our bill up, he said, you know, this probably ain't gonna take long. And DNR stood right up and says they didn't contest it. They agreed with it 100%. Nobody contested it. And it just went right on through.
And that's when is contested, boy. You talk about an argument going
oh
back.
My gosh. Oh, my gosh, my man. That's cheating.
Yeah, we saw that beforehand. Yeah. That's why it was 4 o'clock before it happened.
That's right.
That would be the part that I think that I would like about it, just having the argument and trying to make my point. You know what I mean? Trying to sell that angle that you're trying to sell against your other constituents. You know what I mean? That would be kind of fun and challenging to me anyway.
Kaz, I don't think the world's ready for you to be a politician.
I know the world's ready for this, though. They're ready for a diamond plate. Or no, for a realistic snakeheadlife.com sticker, if you'd like to get that snakeheadlife.com sticker, I have to write is, Kaz, give me that sticker.
And Ashley won the raffle ticket, right?
Yes, Ashley, you got that raffle ticket, so you need to send us a PM with an address so we can get that mailed out to you, please. And back to the program. So this year, you know, I know, let's talk about something else. I heard that... Now, I've known you a long time. I've never known you to really be a hunter.
I'm not.
So let's talk about fishing boats. Because somebody told me, I was hunting in Blackwater and had a little sparrow laying next on my shoulder. And he told me, you know that guy Chris over there, your friend, he's got something going on with bows and arrows. I said, I can't believe that little birdie. He don't hunt. He don't kill nothing that I know of other than.
I don't.
You know. So, so let's talk about what you got going on and a little discussion on that.
So, I mean, you've guys had him on. You had Don from Autumn
Sky. I love it. You got the sticker. Yep. Pick it up at the Wolford store.
Don actually, you know, we talked about, you know, doing some bow fishing.
Don up at Autumn Sky.
Yeah. And so I picked up a couple bows through him. We offered them down at the shop, sold those off. And, I mean, man, look at some of the hauls these guys are doing with these bows.
You ain't shitting, man.
I mean, it's incredible. And
we need it too, buddy. I am.
There's something else coming too that's going to be really, really cool. But so I was just like, there's just another aspect of it, you know, and that was part of it. And as we started talking about it, then the other thing is too, is we are going to be carrying Martin bows and Obsession bows also. And so
now these are not. Fishing bows, you're talking about hunting bows. So you're going to carry both sides of this. Yeah, so that's what I want people to know.
Yeah, we're going to be able to get regular archery compounds and some competition bows if they want. Actually, just traditional recurves and that kind of thing, a longbow. We'll be able to get some of that stuff too. And so I'm really excited about that. You know, I'm hoping it'll. Honestly, I'm hoping it'll help offset my winter season a little bit as we slow down. So
I have a feeling you're gonna be pretty busy. I don't think you're gonna need much to offset yourself. I think that I see a lot of stuff opening up for you this winter. I think if you thought last year was a good year, I think this year is gonna be a better year. Just my forecast anyway. I mean, we know we're going to have some issues coming back after the election, and we know this COVID thing is going to get kind of crazy again. We may see some shutdowns and things like that, and I think that if we see anything like that again, it's going to help this kind of business. It's going to help guys like me on the side of the road selling crabs, you know, the essential people, and that's what's important, you know what I'm saying?
I tell you what, I really think one of the things that's, like I said, no one wanted the pandemic to come out.
Right.
But one of the cool things about it doing was saying, hey, you know what? We can't be inside. Let's go be outside.
A lot of people outside.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just look at Blackwater. First time they've ever sold out of permits. Yeah. They're out of everything.
That's crazy. And I mean, Gary, really, let's talk about the crowds that were here when we couldn't do anything. I mean, how many people were coming down here? I mean, during the middle of the week, it was like a spring opening day every day practically here, you know, because people just wanted to get out of their house, you know? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, that's...
Now they're hooked on snakeheads.
Well, not just that. And the good thing, there's good things that come out of things like this. Like, you know, somebody asked me the other day, what was a good thing that came out of the pandemic was snakehead fishing. Well, we figured out where the best spots were, where people really wanted to fish. We figured out how to make some areas a little safer so that they weren't out of control. We learned some lessons this year with the crowds on how to make adjustments to appease our community members, our you know, and people like that.
We learned about parking.
I mean... And in all reality, it's actually created a kind of a tighter knit community here, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's got us in touch with the county. It's got us in touch with Blackwood. It's got us in touch with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. It's got us in touch with DNR. It's got us in touch with, you know, the county executives and the boards. And I love Dorchester County. And it's just lots of things, you know. And for those of you folks that have not seen the I Love Dorchester County page, please go over there and check that page out. It's a really awesome page. You can find a lot of things that are going on here in the county. If you're looking for something to do on the weekend, you know, you never know what they got going on. There's so much cool stuff going on here. So,
I've never heard any statistics on it, but I would imagine that the Eastern Shores of Transquag and Chickwacomico and Blackwater Rivers are probably some of the most revisited rivers in Maryland.
Oh, I would agree 100% with you.
People just fall in love. Everybody that I've taken out this summer just absolutely loves it.
And that's the
cool thing. Hey, Darryl Welly.
What's that?
I love you, man. You don't call me, you don't write, you don't come see me. I still love you, brother. I haven't forgot you, man. Love.
Darryl, we need lures in the shop, man.
That's my fault. I haven't had a chance to get up with them.
Before I forget about that, I love America and I love snakeheadlife.com. So if you want this sticker, you have to say I love snakeheadlife.com and you get that sticker from us. How's that one sound? So we'll give that to somebody. Well, I guess, you know, I think this has been a pretty good overall thing, man.
I thought you had some questions or something like that. Where were we not? Did I just kept my mouth shut?
No, you're good. Question.
Oh, so yeah, so we were talking. We had some questions here. Let's go back in and see. So, Kenny, what's going on, buddy? Good to see you.
Josh wants to know what the snakehead patterns are during the colder months. That was the first question.
So, you know, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. You know, the colder months get here, and we lose the aggressive bite, let's call it, okay? Let's talk a little bit about the refuge and why we are a great fishery 365 days of the year. For those of you that have come here, you know that our water is shallow. Our water is dark in color. It's black. It's stained from the decaying pine trees. That's what colors our water is. That pine is decaying in the water. It's almost like a tea bag, you know, staining it's that tank. Water. Right. So, you know, so our water is just dark. So, you know, I saw Truong put a question on the site the other day about winter snakehead fishing. And Cornflower can tell you, I mean, us locals here that fish bait, we can tell you that we catch them all winter long. You know, they got to eat, you know, and the way that these temperatures fluctuate so much, they don't get any kind of dormancy, so to say, a long period, let's say. You know, I mean, if they go dormant and we get a 38 degree water and they're chilling and here we have 2 days of 60 degree weather that's followed that cold snap. What happens is that the UV rays are absorbed so much in that black water that it warms just so fast. So when you have two warm days after a cold front, you may be able to get on that swim bait bite, that that lure bite, that chatterbait bite, that, you know, you can get on something more aggressive. If we get into that 3 or 4 day window of 60 degree weather, you can bet your bottom dollar that 6 to 12 inch flat out there is not 60 degrees, but it's 65, 66 degrees. That's just how much warmer it gets. And if you don't believe me, tomorrow, take a white piece of paper and take a red piece of paper and lay it in your window where the sun is. Take both them pieces of paper up and touch them, and you will see what I'm talking about. That red paper will be so much warmer than the white paper.
Well, it's not even just for a couple warm days. If you get where a spot where you have a nice clear day, and in wintertime, the sun's closer to the earth, so you get more UV radiation. It's going to warm that water up even on a clear day. Not quite as much as on a warm day, but it's still going to warm that water
absolutely
up to really get you a good day of fishing.
There. Absolutely. But my point is, when we get to that fourth day of a good 60-degree right. day, like we get that, you know, we get the run in January, yep, we get the run in December, we have 4 60-degree days. I am not lying when I sit here and tell you I've caught him on a buzzbait in December, January, and February. Okay. My cousin Ricky, he can tell you we've caught him on buzzbaits January, February.
Crappie and bass.
You know,
Ricky doesn't fish with anything but a swim bait anymore.
No, the only thing he fishes them with anymore is that hyperlastics thing like that. That's not even the one he wants to use.
No.
But yeah, so I mean, he taught me that years ago. You know, Ricky was very instrumental to me. Wayne, all them guys down the Buttons Necks, you know, they taught me a lot of stuff here. And I absorbed the things that I was taught. And I remembered these things. And, you know, I took these things with snakehead fishing, you know, when, if anybody remembers, like 5 6 years ago, I was making posts with ice at Newbridge. Mm-hmm. And I was catching snakeheads, you know, in the middle of the river on minnows like you wouldn't believe. And I think it was like 40 or 50 fish I caught that day. It was the most I'd ever caught in the middle of the winter. And it was ridiculous. And then me and Cornflower, we started putting that pattern together and trying it at other spots, other bridges. And we figured out the way the current would flow through these bridges, where we needed to be sitting with bait to intercept the fish, you know, in the warm spot, you know. Yeah. So it's trial, it's error, it's learning. It's, you got to get out here and you got to do it. But the bottom line, you know, your winter time pattern, it's mostly bait. You know, snakehead destroyers from the Bait Boys. If you can get your hands on grass shrimp, are always a go-to here. We're realizing with time that these snakeheads are eating mass amounts of grass shrimp here. And I really think that, and this is my personal opinion and what I'm seeing, I think that that's really a lot of the fuel that's growing these fish at the rate that they're growing. You put that shrimp, you put that shad, you put that carp, you put all that protein into that picture, and you've just got like
we got an unlimited source of food.
Exactly. Yeah. You've just got overabundance of, let's just say, fish steroids for snakeheads. You know
for
what I'm saying?
For the time being, anyway.
Right. So
I'd say one other thing, and Chris, you can certainly hit on this too. If you're going to come down in the wintertime and fish, and you're in a kayak, my God, man, bring a change of clothes and have it in a sealed
bag. I was trying to reach out to Roy
and get some kind of solar blanket or something, because hypothermia can get you. And just because the water's 2 feet deep, you don't have to worry about drowning, but I don't mean it won't kill you.
Yeah. I mean, and actually, you know, we saw Roy Boyd from Westside Snacks. I mean, I love watching him when he starts posting, hey, I'm going to go fishing. Anybody want to come with me? At this point in time, you better have a dry suit. He's not going to have someone go with him that's not going to have a dry suit. And I love that idea. And this is not something to play around with. I mean, when that water starts getting cold, it will not take you long to go into hypothermia.
Yeah.
But one of the things you talk about snakehead fishing, I'm going to add just one thing that I've, through the years now, I'm going to just say this like this. I've been bass fishing since I was 8 years old. I'm a bass fisherman through and through. It's just who I am. I'm that guy.
Yep.
I don't mind catching snakeheads, but I'm a bass guy. And I fish with one of probably the best snakehead guys around. And I have watched him and I've heard stories. And I can tell you without a doubt, one of the things people need to do is make multiple casts to the same spot. I mean, he's
make them mad, man.
Man, and I've heard him. I mean, he's we'll be talking. He'll go like, yeah. He goes, I told him to slow down. He goes, and they kept going. So I caught the fish behind him. So and sometimes they didn't even realize he had caught them, and he gave them to him at the end of the day. And so, I mean, and he's done it with me. We went, the drawbridge, we were down the drawbridge. I made 5 or 6 casts down there. We were just walking the bank. I made 5 or 6. I quit. I walked over the other place. Looks good over there. He stood there and made 10 or 15. He caught one. Put it in the thing. Came back. 10 or some more. Caught another one. He caught 3. I caught nothing. And it's just been, I mean, watching him do that. And I learned a lot. We went to Marshy Hope. And we started, that's the first, that's actually one of the first ones I saw where I actually saw the bubble ring come up. And that got me excited. I was like,
I'll tell you what, the Marship's really picking up in some numbers over there, too.
I think they got some size over there, too. They've got some big you're not going to have the congregation like you have in Blackwater.
Yeah,
you're never going to have that.
I don't think you see that.
No. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You don't. It's too deep. You've got it's vaster. I mean, you got a lot of space there.
I found a couple holes in the Blackwater this year, and I'm amazed. I had no idea there was any depth to it, because places you go. I mean, I got my mud boat on high tide, and you look behind me, 50 feet behind the boat, and it's stirring up mud.
It's funny. I remember when you called me, you were still in the boat. You're like, man, you never believe what I found. Yeah. I found this hole out in this river. I never thought we'd find something 10 feet deep here. Yeah. So I'll never forget when he called me for that.
So as far as lures go, you know, we know that, you know, you did the Daryl Willie stuff, you know, yep. The stuff that you're showing right there, you know, that's some really, really good stuff. You know, for swim baits, you know, I recommend the Berkley Fusion, you know, these weighted hooks here. And for Gamagatsu, you know, I like these 5-aught weighted hooks here. This is probably the simplest winter lure to use, a 3-inch Mr. Twister. You simply put it on an 1/8-ounce jig head or a 1/4-ounce jig head and just keep your rod tip high and swim it slow, drop it behind the pylons on the bridge and jig it, throw it under the bridge, skip it back under there and let it windmill, kind of drop down real slow and watch for the tick in the line. This is really, really, really an easy lure to use. And then back to the 1/8-ounce chatterbait. You know, you've got this from Z-Man. Then you can go over to Daryl Willie and get the Kaz's Crazy Crappy Flapper. You know, those things work great, too, from Daryl Willie.
And then you got all your inline MEPS stuff.
Yep, yeah. That's where I was going next. Yeah, you know, you got right here, you got your MEPS, you know, number 5. That's a little big, but, you know, you can play with the 4 right now. You can play with the 3 because, you know, you want to kind of, you might get in that finesse mode where you want to slow things down, so you want a smaller lure. Only bad thing about the smaller lures, you'll catch them big fish hitting that little small 3, but the hook, you know, you better be ready to play. So that's why for me, you know, I'm going to go back to the MEPS is probably my first go-to lure to use. And then if the MEPS isn't working, my second thing is going to be to tip the MEPS with a minnow. And we've been talking about that a lot on the page here recently over the last couple of weeks. You know, I turned Mike Stewart onto that little tip last year, and that tip originally, again, came from me from my cousin Ricky. He taught me that years ago, white perch fishing, take a little tiny minnow, put on a little tiny MEPS, and you can catch all the white perch you wanted out there in Blackwater. So that tactic works really, really well for the snakeheads now. For those of you that drink beer or like ice cold sodas, I've got a koozie right here from wickedstickers.com. We'll give that away tonight to somebody. And you say, I like cold beverages. I like cold beverages. And you can get that koozie. How's that sound?
What if they like coffee?
Then we'll give them a...
Put it in a beer bottle.
Now, if you like coffee, I've got these warmers right here from the Wolford store. So if you would like to get this warmer for your coffee right here, right now, say, I love Wolford store, and we'll give you that koozie. How's that? So you can get a koozie from Wicked Stickers and get a koozie from Wolford General Store. What else we got?
If you're coming down here, you need to come by the Wolford store and get something to eat. Oh, absolutely. They got some of the best food around.
Hey, we ate all kinds of stuff before. We ate shrimp, we ate snakehead, we ate cheesesteaks, we ate onion rings, we ate all kinds of stuff.
Elizabeth, don't listen to this. I didn't have a cheesesteak.
No, he did not.
He had a large one anyway.
He had a turkey club wrap with no bacon and no mayonnaise and just lettuce and ham and the wrap.
Actually, no, right now she's going to sign up and she's going to write liar, Kaz, liar. So she knows me better than that.
Not all fishermen are liars, but the liars, Kaz, a lot of liars night. Like the fish.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate
I'm
coming
you coming out. So next week, a little spoiler. I got Tim from Fish and Bay Oyster Company. He's coming on here next week. We had him scheduled, and then Eddie got sick that weekend.
That's right. Yep.
And he went in the hospital, and we had to put him off. So next week, we're going to talk about oyster farming in Dorchester County. We're going to talk about another local here who's watched unfold in his own backyard the same things that we've been telling you about for the last 3 years that nobody wants to believe. So we'll have him here, and we'll talk about some changes that we'd like to see done in the county, and he's got some ideas too for some things that we might be able to do to make some improvements here for our guests that are visiting from abroad. So,
Chris, I just want to say you were right on point with the She definitely called you out to saying lies. So.
Not me.
yeah.
What do you think, Eddie?
I think it's time.
Give away some free crabs?
Yeah, man.
It's time. It's now. The Sunday Fun Day giveaway. But we do it out here on Thursdays at the Wolford store. So look, folks, out here at the crab stand, we do one thing. We put the fresh in fresh. When you want fresh crabs, how do you spell the word fresh? C-R-A-B-S-T-A-N-D. Absolutely. Mustardpack.com. You want to find us? You like mustard? Let me tell you what. My crabs got so much mustard, you better go to the BJ's and get you a bag of straws to get all that mustard out them crabs when you're plucking them bad boys at the table. All right, folks, here we go. I am going to give this week, are you ready? Free crabs, three people, all right? Gary McGill, I'm going to give you a dozen crabs. Nancy Carey Macri, I'm going to give you a dozen crabs. Bob Goldstein, I'm going to give you a dozen crabs. Let's get right to it. My crabs, they have three first names. It's Heavy, Full, and Fat.
You forgot the angler of the week.
Oh, stop right there, Eddie. Let's talk about the Mets angler of the week because we got a good one this week.
This here is Ryan Henkin. This is a 10-pound, 30-inch snakehead.
Ryan Henkin, what we want you to do is when you're down here at the Wolford store, we want you to come here and we want you to get a MEPS courtesy of MEPS Lures for being the Angler of the Week. Thank you, MEPS, for supporting the podcast. We appreciate you, and we will do everything to make sure that we sell lots of MEPS Lures for you.
Back to the scheduled crab jingle.
My crabs, they have three first names. It's Heavy, Full, and Fat. My crabs, they have a fourth name. Fourth name, Chris Leslie, what is it?
Absolutely mustard packed.
And if you ask me where they're from, they're 100% guaranteed Maryland number ones. At the crab stand, here's a fact. I know for sure you're coming back. Kapow! Kapow! And ha-ha! Kapow!